Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and delight to be with you. Our co-host tonight, as always, is Ms. Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network, Incorporated, and she's going to join us in just a few minutes. But before I get started, I just want to say thank you so very much for tuning in to the broadcast today. It is Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you've had a great day, as I have. It's been a busy, busy time for me, even though it's summertime, and I know it can be busy for you, especially when you own your own business or you have a career and you're working towards your goals and your future. So thank you so much for taking the time to share the radio showcase with us tonight. We are very excited. So I want to let you know that if you would like to call in after the show, the number to call is 757-567-6734, and that will be my direct line. You can get me. We can talk about small business, or if you need more information about the nonprofit sector, you can definitely talk to Veronica McMillan. So if this is your first time tuning in to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, I thank you so very much. And if you're a longtime listener, we definitely thank you as well, because we know we could not be on the air this long without you listening to our program, supporting us, asking questions with the show and after the show. And so we're very excited to always come and try to give you information that is needed in the community when we're talking about small business, especially women in business. We don't exclude the men, but we definitely support the women in their groups and try to be significant in giving out the information. So I want to say good evening to my co-host, Veronica McMillan. How are you doing today, Veronica?
Good evening, Francine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And I hope you had a great day today.
I have. It's been a very busy day. And so you know how it is when you have those busy days. You just, when you take a seat, you're just so happy to be able to sit down. But, yeah, so, yeah, I had a really good productive day.
Yeah. Okay, good. I just said that. I was like, I know it's busy. It's busy for everybody. If, you know, you have your own business, or you working towards your career, or you're in school, whatever you're doing. It's, you know, it's summertime, and we're thinking – we should be, like, slowing down, but we feel like we're in full effect. So I just want to applaud everybody who, you know, who is sticking through, even though it's been hot and muggy. But, you know, we're still here, and we're grateful and thankful for that. Yeah, so tonight we want to just jump right in and talk a little bit about women in business and small business. And I'm going to let Veronica start off by telling us about what she's doing in her nonprofit right now and some of the things that she's looking forward to doing in the future. So take it away, Ms. Veronica.
Oh, thank you, Francine. I hope everybody can hear me okay, because, of course, I have a phone that basically, they're trying to force me to buy another phone because it really is acting up. So I'm like, that's not good.
Is your phone 2 years old or older?
Yes, it's 2 years.
So, well, you know that's
so
the plan, right?
Me.
Yes,
yeah,
after 2 years, you have to get
plan.
A new phone.
Yep,
yes.
They're making me to do that. So anyhow, one of the things that that we're doing now, for instance, is we really, really, really is, first of all, just kind of going back to the drawing board and really looking at the vision and the mission of the organization. Because one of the things that we want to do is to support, you know, micro nonprofits, those nonprofits that are 2 years old or less, and helping them understand how to be lender ready or funder ready, meaning that, you know, if you're starting your nonprofit off and you got to get capital. Where are you going to get that capital from? In most cases, you're going to have a business plan if you're going to go to a bank and borrow some money from them, or you're going to have to look at where are your resources coming from to help support yourself. And everybody know when you start off your first 4 or 5 years in a business, whether it be for-profit or non-profit, you're going to grind out for a long time because you got to get things in place. You're using a lot of your own money to fund the business. And so you have to really look at, you know, what are the strategies that I'm going to use to get, you know, to keep the business functioning while we build at the same time. And then the other piece of that is being able to build your programs. And so we have actually three programs that we have. We have that's the ticket program, which is really our bus ticket program, and our concierge program, which is sort of our kitty cab. Some people call it the Uber service. But that program, we really want to kind of morph that into linking it to, you know, college students who need a ride, but also to address some of the issues that they're having. And that issue right now is depression. And so we want to link that service to that. So once we can get bus tickets out to college students, we want to have roundtable discussions with them, like, I know it's rough, I know it's tough, and so how are you all managing, that kind of thing. And then, of course, we have our parenting or our Me and Mommy program. And, again, really wanting to kind of beef that up and maybe do maybe some parenting sessions with the child. So because that really is an area that I believe that that the parents need some help. I know in working with families, that's one of the major areas that, you know, that I see parents struggling in, and, you know, being able to take care of their family. And then, of course, the services that we provide in terms of our nonprofit training and all that stuff. But really bringing it back down to bare bones and starting from the beginning and saying, okay, how are we serving our clients well, and what things do we need to possibly restructure and to do what we got to do? Because if you're in any business, nonprofit or for-profit, you got to get back to, is it working? If it's not working, what should we be doing different? And what are those strategies to do different? And what do we need to do to earn money or to have a service that we would provide that's fee-based? And so those are the kinds of things that we do to help nonprofits. And as I said in one of the conversations that we had in the past, is that one of the things that I think is a niche for us is that we're doing the very same thing that we talk to our clients about, that we understand this because we go through this. We understand some of the struggles that small businesses go through because we're small businesses doing the very same thing, trying to understand the niche, the market, how to market to the people that we have, how to have services that are services that customers want. So that's kind of, you know, what we do in serving our customers, is just educating them, helping them to understand that if you're going to go to a funder and asking for money in a grant, you better really have a well-developed program, because I think people tend to think that because they get that 501c3 that it's, you know, it's pie in the sky and everything's going to be great. But a funder is asking the same thing that a banker is asking. They're asking to have an RFP out there. Mm-hmm. They're saying, hey, we got this money, but the way that you're going to get that money is that you have a well-developed program with goals, objectives, you have tools, data to collect the information that you're serving the community with, being able to show that to demonstrate that program is viable. So that's basically, you know, what we do. And again, we do that because we understand the process. We've gone through some of the pitfalls, some of the failures, some of the things that we're like, oh God, that didn't work. Let me try something else. Let me try something different now. And in this process, and then just having those conversations about like what we're doing now, saying, hey, for the nonprofit and going out there and reaching the communities, you really, really have to have, you know, your ducks in a row and really have a strategy for moving forward. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm hoping I answered the question.
Yes, you did. So before we move on, I just want to elaborate on some of the programs, like the program. Can you tell how that actually works? And if you, someone wanted to help you with that, you know, how they could get in touch with you and, you know, just be a part of helping the community in that way.
Well, our the ticket program is basically our bus ticket program that, as I say, we're going to expand on that a little bit so that the program, so it's kind of, it's two-pronged where we're dealing with two issues, but primarily what we do is provide bus tickets for individuals who are, you know, who are working teens and really don't have a car or what have you, then they can get, you know, bus tickets. We have for working women bus tickets, and typically we try to do is we fundraise to get the tickets, and then we have those persons that know that we have tickets, they can connect with us, or somebody that, you know, have a need, and they connect with us as well, because our goal is to be able to be a support for those who are trying to get to work, because a bus ticket is expensive when you think about it. You got to ride every day. And when you look at it, and the way that bus tickets are is that, you know, you move from one point to the next, do a transfer, and then go to wherever it is that you're going. So with bus tickets being now $4.75 per trip, and most people are having to take two trips, you know, to get to work. So let's say, for instance, you worked at Walmart. I'll use that as an example. So you take the bus from your home to a transfer station, and then from the transfer station to your destination. If you don't have the all-day-long pass, you're paying $4.75, you know what I mean? Both ways. So you're paying literally over $9 for that specific ticket for that one day, which means that then you have to turn back around and do it again, you know what I mean, going back home. And so what we try to do is supply, you know, help supply bus tickets. And then the only way that we do that is through fundraising. And then, you know, then pursuing grants where that specific need is being met, and we having outcomes that show that there is a need in the community. We know that there is, because of the fact that there are many people catch TRT back and forth to work, to the doctor's office, to drop the kids off, to do whatever. So for people who want to, you know, get in touch with us, certainly they can go to our website, or they can just email me at letstalkveronica@gmail.com, so that they're able to, you know, to for us to what their needs are. I do tell people how we operate with limited tickets, because again, it is something that we have to fundraise for, and that we try to, you know, be good stewards over what we have, and try to spread the love to as many people as we possibly can. So sometimes a person is only maybe getting two or three all day long passes, but that's $2 or $3 that you no longer, you know, two or three tickets that you'll have, and you don't have to worry about that day, because they're all day long passes. And so, so that's kind of how the yes. So that's the
absolutely
ticket program.
Wonderful. Okay, good. And for the Uber, the kitty cab, let's talk about that for a minute. How that actually works, and how you're able to help the, you know, college students or the moms trying to get back and forth to work. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, certainly can. So basically what this whole thing came about because of my granddaughter. We launched it in March, and one of the reasons why we launched it, she was saying how much money she was spending, you know, on Uber, going back and forth to work when she didn't have a ride from her parents or what have you, or I wasn't available. And then I started thinking about, man, if we could, you know, we, the organization should come in and provide a flat rate, you know, for going and coming. Now, this is, again, we don't go everywhere. We have specific areas that we transport to. We, at this particular point in time, we don't transport men, because, again, it, for us, it's really about empowering women and girls for this particular thing. And because we only have one vehicle at the time, that when we got started, we really wanted it to limit, you know, our locations in terms of where we're going. And so it was really to help curb the cost of what she was spending on Uber. And so I, you know, it came into my mind, hey, why don't we offer this, we call it a concierge service for working teens and women who are trying to get to a specific location. We pick you up, you pay your fee, you drop you off, you pay your fee, and then that's it. And what we like to do is for those people who are regular, we get their schedule in advance. So we'll know next week we have, you know, three riders, you know, on this particular two on that day or what have you. Mm-hmm. And we already know their schedule, because that way we can plan better when we do that again. Limited locations. We don't go everywhere trying to, you know, drop people off or what have you. And again, we don't pick up men and boys right now until mm-hmm. we do the other drivers, male drivers or what have you, just for safety reasons.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why we're not Uber. That's why I tell people all the time, is Uber will pick up anybody, anywhere, anytime,
right.
as long as you got
mm-hmm.
and do all of that. Ours is concierge, you know.
Okay.
Ours, we got some criteria around the things that we do. So that's that one.
Okay, great. And the other key piece that I want to you to speak on is how you help the nonprofit organizations, those micro nonprofit organizations, to get established. Because I know the one thing you did mention twice, I believe, was getting funding. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we need to speak about just a little bit more. And how can they
mm-hmm.
Get information from you? And what are some of the things that they can do to start getting
mm-hmm.
prepared to get funding from a bank or
mm-hmm.
A funding institution?
It's crazy that we're having this conversation. I'm meeting with a banker tomorrow to talk about this very thing, because for small nonprofits, especially those, again, our niche is the micro nonprofits, those organizations that's 2 years old or less. So these are really
mm-hmm.
the baby organizations. These are the organizations who have filled out the 1023EZ application for the 501c3. So that's our particular niche. And so what we're doing is, and again, I say this all the time, is that we walk through these. So it's not something that, you know, you go
mm-hmm.
to school, you learned it, and, hey, then you applied. No, we're literally walking through the steps ourselves and have walked
mm-hmm.
through the steps. And so one of the things that I always say to a nonprofit is basically, have you done a budget for your organization? So at least you'll
mm-hmm.
know. Even though you may not, you know, because for those who are filling out the 1023EZ, it has been projected, or they projected a forecast 3 years, that they said to IRS that over a 3-year span, we are not going to exceed $50,000. And $50,000, you know, when you first get started, it's a whole bunch of money. But as you grow, you realize that's just somebody's salary. You know what I mean?
It is one person.
But when you first get started, you'd be like, shoot, we could just get $50,000. We'd be killing it. And we know, you know what I mean? We know that it doesn't, but you have to begin, you know, at the beginning. And so
mm-hmm.
basically what I try to do is help nonprofits to understand what's your budget, and then look at all of the things. What is the criteria that of a banker? So let's just talk about the bank first, that the bank
mm-hmm.
wants. So everybody, banker or funder, wants to know the return on the investment. They want to know, how are you going to pay us back? You know, how are you going to, if you asking us for $15,000 and you're not even making $100 in your organization, that's kind of crazy. So oftentimes your bankers, they want you a clear business plan. If you don't have a clear business
mm-hmm.
plan, you might as well just forget it, because then
mm-hmm.
they're not having a conversation, because they already realize that you haven't done the work. And then the other piece
right.
of that is helping them to, you really need to pull your credit report, because the thing that I'm finding out is that basically no matter what you do, your personal to be looked at, whether it's your business or whether it's your nonprofit or what, they're going to look at all of that, because they
mm-hmm.
want to know that we loan you money, how are you going to pay us back? And so then,
right.
you know, the other piece is basically looking at, okay, so what are you going to do with it? How have you put together a plan for, you know, are you paying salary, or are you program supplies, you know, breaking that budget down and helping them to see these are the things. Yes, you have a projected budget. Yeah, you projected $50,000, but all you have made this year is $8,000. So looking at that and saying how are you going to do this? So for those who are coming in to sit down and talk with me, you know, certainly we can help you get your paperwork for your nonprofit started and what have you. But beyond the 501c3, you still got to have capital. And so does that mean you're borrowing from your 401? Does that mean you're asking family to support you? Does that mean you're going to get a business line of credit? And if you get a business line of credit, then basically you're still going to have your personal credit pulled to see whether or not they're going to, you know, give you the money, because they're going to look at your FICO score then. And so just looking at all of that, and so, you know, that was one of the things that before we really weren't getting into. We were really just talking about formation of the organization and stuff. But now what I realize, as we grow, as we're going into year three, we need more monies. We need capital, you know what I mean? And so that means we're going to have to get that from somewhere. On the funder side of it, a funder is looking for basically a strong program. They're looking to say, okay, how long have you been doing this program? How do you know that the program is working? What goals and objectives have you set for your specific program? How are you measuring success? How are you, if you say we got a literacy program, how do we know that the participating in your literacy program is actually learning what they need, and it's not because you said they were good? We have some tools to measure, you know, when we're collecting data or what have you, because, again, they want return on their investment. If you go to them and say, okay, you know, I'm asking for $30,000, they're going to want to see how much money have you already kind of handled into a grant before. And we want to see your financials. They want to say, so you're saying you asking for $30,000. What did year one look like? Which means if you don't have really good bookkeeping, how can you tell them that? You know what I mean? And so those are the kinds of things that we that we're doing now, that we tweaked a little bit and still working on. As I said, tomorrow I'll be sitting down with a banker, because I want to be able to point nonprofits into, hey, here's an organization, whether it's a CDFI, whether it's the SBA, or whether it's somebody that who is basically going to take a chance with a small nonprofit, and your interest rates are going to be high when you really don't have, you've not shown that basically you can, you know, that you can handle the monies or what have you if you go from a bank. But if you go from a lender, you know, going to a funder, they still want to see, how much money did y'all make last, you know, year four? How much money did y'all make this year? Because we want to know, if the payment is $200, how you going to pay us?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, great information, Veronica. And so, again, if you're out there listening and you want to get more information, Veronica, just tell them how they can reach you and the best way to contact you.
Sure. The best way to contact me by email is letstalkveronica@gmail.com. You can go to our website at www.micrononprofitnetwork.com. You can call me when my phone is working like it should be at 757-572-0974. Hopefully we'll keep, you know, our phone are working now. We get a new one, but yeah, we're forced to get a new one.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the thing that I wanted to add for the show, and Veronica, you gave great information, and I hope they had their pencils and paper ready. Normally I tell them to get it ready, but they can always go back and listen to the show after tonight, you know, and get the information. But a couple of key things that you mentioned, and this is for a nonprofit or for-profit business, is one, having a business plan. Everybody needs to have one. I know some people like to fly by the seat of their pants, like they say, or shoot it from the hip. That's all well and good. But when you go in to sit down with a banker or a funder and you tell them, oh, I know how much money I got, now I know how much I can make, they're going to say, well, thank you very much for coming in, and grab a donut on the way out. You know, they just don't have time to be dealing with you. You know, so you really have to get your business plan together. And the other thing is your credit.
and looking at your credit score, and people can go to Credit Karma, and then there's all kinds of free things online that you can do, and we'll get into mm-hmm. that on another show. But Credit Karma is excellent because you actually see where your credit, how it's going up and down, and it's not a a number where the bank will might give you more than Credit Karma, but at least it gives you kind of a gauge to go by. And so that's one of the things that I teach in the financial workshops that I do. So there is resources available to you, but you have to contact us so that we can give you that information. We just don't, we can't, you know, if we had a crystal ball and we knew that every person that needed to get their credit repair, then, you know, that would be another stream of income for us. But we just don't, you know, we mm-hmm. need people to let us know that, hey, this is what I need. You know, my credit score is low because I started this business. I quit my job. And when I quit my job, I thought I had 6 months worth of income, but I only had 3 months of income. And now this is where mm-hmm. I am. And some of my bills have been late. And so now they need to work on their credit. So we definitely can help you with that. And because I am the small business side of, you know, dealing with organizations, you know, I can show you how to do your business plans. I write them, you know, and I've been writing them for years. And it depends on what your organization is, what type of business plan you're going to present to the banker. If you're looking for money, your business plan is going to be different for someone who has their own funding. You know, so there are different types of business plans. So you need to know that as well. And you need to get with somebody that knows how to teach you what you need to put in your business plan so that when you do sit down that you are ready to talk business with a lender. And then the last thing that I want to talk about is, you know, just knowing that there's help available to you. And remember that you are in business, because I think sometimes people forget that, you know, they kind of like, okay, I'm going to be in business today, but I'm really not in business tomorrow. You know, so it don't work that way. You have to be in business every day. You have to do something that's moving your business in the right direction. And of course you can have slow days and slow down and it's summertime and you may not be as busy, but this is the time when they talk about grinding, this is the time you need to be grinding, because you know, when the winter time mm-hmm. comes, nobody wants to be out there trying to figure out where their next dollar is going to come from. So if you grind in the right. summer and do like the squirrels, gather up all your little nuts in the summertime and store them mm-hmm. away. Because if we look at animals, they're so much. We're animals too, you know. And, you know, but they do things that we can learn from. They gather their little nuts up, you know, and then in the yep. winter they don't have nothing to worry about. Their little jaws are just full right. of nuts and whatever else they need. But we don't tend to do that. We're like, oh, I'll wait until fall and I'll get started, you know. But you, that does not always work when you're in business. You have to always be in business. I had a meeting this morning, and so that young lady asked me, what did success look like for a small business owner? And I said, and it's different for each individual. And that's the other thing. I can't measure my success by Veronica, and Veronica can't mm-mm. measure her success by me. You have to look at who you are and what success means to you. So we just are here to help you guys. I think Veronica gave you some great tips for the nonprofit, which you can also use in the for-profit world. So don't just think because we're putting nonprofit in there, you can't use the information. It's for everybody. And they kind of cross over into each other because they are businesses and organizations, and they have to be run a certain way. So if you're not running mm-hmm. the way that it should be run, then you definitely need to sit down and talk with somebody about that. So, Veronica, we're at our 90-second mark. So, again, give them your goodness. Information, how they can get it. So I told you, it's like once we get started, it will not take long for us to get finished. So give them your information and how they can contact you.
Sure. So you certainly can contact me by email at letstalkveronica@gmail.com. You can certainly go to the website at micrononprofitnetwork.com. Or you can just call me by phone, 757-572-0974.
Wonderful. And if you would like to get with me about your small business plan, setting some goals and working on your credit, you can call me at 757-567-6734. My email address is icwdirector@gmail.com, and you can always go to my website, which is issuesconcerningwomen.org. So, Ms. Veronica, we are at the end of another wonderful show. Thank you so much
wonderful.
For spending time with me today. I think you gave some great information to our listening audience. And, again, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to our show, and we
yes.
look forward to being with you all next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Veronica, have a great evening, and I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care. Good night, all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show, with your host Francine Allen Humphrey and Ms. Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network Incorporated. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So in the meantime, be great, and if you can, be better. Take care now. God bless, and bye-bye.